Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Perkins. Welcome to the Bread of Heaven Church Midweek Bible Study. Tonight, our topic will be an assembly of overcomers. Before we begin, I've asked Elder Brasher to lead us off in prayer.
I'm going to read the scripture as we get into our prayer. Isaiah 40, 28-31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There's no searching his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint, and the weary. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for another day that you've allowed us to see. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us up to this point in the year. Lord, you saw the transition from 2024 into 2025. And Lord, all that was going on in the world, things seemed like we came into a turbulent year. And Lord, we did. From the weather to world events to events in our community to events in our personal lives and families. But Lord God, in the midst of all that, you knew and you know everything that's going to happen in every day, every week, throughout this year. And Lord God, we thank you for having a resting place in you. We thank you, Lord God, for having a secret place where we can go and we can hide. And Lord God, we can feel covered. And Lord, we can open up and we can cast our cares upon you. And Lord, pour out on you, who is our strength. Lord God, we may feel like things in us are dwindling and maybe getting weaker, Lord, but you let us know how great, how powerful that you are, that you, Lord, you will impart your strength to us. And Lord God, when we run out and our power runs out, Lord, we feel weak, Lord God, you, Lord, increase our strength and our might and our abilities, Lord God, our means, whatever we need, Lord God, you supply it. And Lord God, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the strength that comes in so many ways through your word. Lord God, we thank you for your word and imparting your word, giving us understanding of your word and giving us, Lord, a pastor and teacher and ministers, Lord, that impart your word to us and share that, what you've given to them, share with us. And Lord God, we need that tonight. We need that food tonight. Lord, our pastor needs your strength tonight. Lord God, you see what he's going through. And Lord God, in the midst of all the other things that and the responsibilities that he has, Lord, you're renewing his strength. You're restoring, Lord, and allowing him to be able to continue on. Lord, remember, Lord God, his brother, and you see, you know him. And Lord God, you see the love, Lord, that's there and how much love that Pastor Perkins and his family, Lord, have and have shown. And Lord God, we just ask you to give comfort, Lord God, to them. Others, Lord, that are going through. Lord, it seems like we all are going through something. Lord, thank you for raising me back up. Lord, I was weak. I got weak and I was faint. But Lord God, you didn't keep me where, you allowed me to stay where I was, but you renewed my strength, Lord. At some point, you were working down in the midst of my body, Lord, to strengthen me and to raise me back up again. And you got me going. And I do thank you so much for that, Lord. And Lord, as they used to say, I thank the Lord for my health, reasonable portion of health, and my strength. And Lord God, thank you for waking us up and getting us started on our way. Lord God, I don't take that for granted. Lord God, can wake up but can't get started. Wake up but can't get up. Lord, it's like so many are right now, but we thank you. We don't take anything, Lord, I don't take anything. We're not going to take anything for granted. And Lord God, prepare our hearts and our minds for whatever we're going to face. Lord God, let us draw closer to you now than we ever have, because we're going to need you. And Lord God, we need you right now in the midst of what is going on right now in all of our lives. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, remember, Lord, what we have to deal with tomorrow. Lord, you allowed us to make it through today. But Lord God, tomorrow, you said what happens tomorrow is enough in tomorrow that we shouldn't have to worry about tomorrow today. But Lord God, we're thinking about it and we're preparing. And so Lord, prepare us, Lord, for what we're going to have to deal with tomorrow, and keep us safe. Lead us and guide us. Be that counselor, Lord, that Isaiah told us that you would be. And Lord God, who better than the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, to be our counselor. So Lord God, we need your wisdom. We need your instruction. We need your guidance. Lord God, as we go through tomorrow and then the next day, and we're turning it all over into your hands and believe, Lord, that you're going to give us what we need, whatever it is that we need, Lord, to make it through and to face tomorrow. Lord God, we're going to have the victory. We know that with you, Lord, we're more than conquerors, because you're going to fight the battle. And Lord God, you go before us. Lord, we know that we can do all things through you that strengthens us each day, every day. Lord, we may have to start all over each day with a whole new round of strength. And Lord God, but you supply it. And we thank you so much, Lord. Lord God, we want to give you glory through what we go through and how we go through it. Lord, not murmuring and complaining, not questioning, but Lord God, we're going through because you're our Father, and you supply our needs according to your riches and glory. And Lord God, what you have in you, and Lord God, through the power that works within us, which is you, Lord God, you give us what we need. We thank you. We love you, Lord God. Protect our families. Continue to provide for all of us. Don't let that be a worry, that I don't know how I'm going to make my rent payment or my mortgage payment. I don't know how I'm going to pay this light bill. Lord God, supply that need. Lord God, we surely don't want anybody, Lord God, to be thinking, how am I going to put food on the table? What is my family going to eat? Lord God, provide that, our daily bread, Lord, the essential things of life. Lord God, on our job, the things that go on there, Lord God, you see, we got so many people with so many minds and thoughts and being influenced, Lord, by things they don't even realize they're being influenced by. And Lord God, by a realm that they don't even, Lord, know or understand or see. But Lord God, we do, and we know you. And we know, Lord, that we are your sons, we are your daughters. And Lord God, we know, Lord God, that you are going to treat us, and Lord God, allow us to come out victorious. You're going to allow us, Lord God, the things we put our hearts and our minds to do to be successful. Lord God, you're going to give us favor with those we come in contact with, whatever business we have to take care of, and the things, Lord God, that we need to do. There's, Lord, we know that you're already putting the people in place, Lord, that we're going to speak to that we don't even know. they're going to give us favor because you've already spoken to their hearts and their minds. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, even in our homes, Lord. Minister to us in our homes. Lord, don't let it be a place of anxiety. Lord thank God, you. Don't let it be a place, Lord God, where we're stressed and we're so uncertain we can't sleep. Lord, but give us rest, only the rest that you can give. You said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Sometimes, Lord, we get that way. Sometimes we're toiling, Lord God, with the things that we're going through in our minds, and other people don't know what all we're struggling with. But you know, Lord, and we're turning it over to you this evening. Lord God, just bless Pastor Perkins with the word. Lord God, that's going to help us. Lord, that's going to help us today, Lord, tonight, to make it through the rest of the week. And Lord God, whatever we have to do and face, increase our strength. Lord, increase our faith in you, Lord God, so that whatever we go through, we can say it was nobody but Jesus that did this for me, that brought me through this. Remember our children, protect them as well. Keep them healthy and strong in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for each of you. If you would, turn to Romans 12, verse 21. Tonight, our topic is an assembly of overcomers. An assembly of overcomers. As you can tell by the title, we're talking about the body of Christ and as well the local assemblies, like Bread of Heaven, within the body of Christ. So we start with this one verse, and then we're going to kind of work our way through this chapter, and we're going to emphasize things a little bit differently from what we normally do in terms of verses 1 and verses 2 of this chapter. I will touch on those verses of Romans 12, but we're going to put emphasis on verses 9 through 21 of this chapter. We're going to turn to a few other chapters. One of the themes of this lesson is about love. It will become apparent as we talk, as we go over the scriptures. My brother is very sick. I thank Elder for praying for him. He has his prayer team praying for him. The ministers are praying for him. The saints are praying for him. Very much appreciated. Thank you. Romans 12, verse 21. And the title, if you missed the title, I put it in the chat when I got on. So the title is there in the chat. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And when we're talking about good, can anybody think of anything better than love? Can anybody? Because it is the only attribute of God that is that the scriptures tell us that he is. And in one chapter of the Bible, I think it's 1 John 2, it says it twice. God is love. So if God is love, and we are admonished through the anointed word to not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, we know that in these perilous times, the last thing we need is division and lack of love in the church. We do not need that. We do not need a falling away from the truth. We don't need people backing up. We don't need people stirring up stuff or scared to step forward to do something. We know that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, you know, if I could do all these wonderful things, obviously I'm paraphrasing, and have not love, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It doesn't matter. It's not worth a hill of beans, as the old folks used to say, right? So we are an assembly of overcomers. Now, the Lord gave me this lesson, gave me the little topic that I have. I thank the Lord for that. I hope it blesses you. And then after that, I thought of an illustration. Now, y'all know illustrations and analogies are imperfect. If you carry it down the line, you can tear it apart probably. Some of these brilliant minds on the call can. But let me give you this. Now, I grew up in a different world. We didn't know about computers. They may have existed in the military or at certain universities or something like that. We didn't know anything about computers. And we would, we had a TV that had three channels when the rabbit ears was working right. And sometimes we were down to one. So we didn't have a lot of the kind of entertainment and the technology access that we have now. Of course, nobody had cell phones. But one of the things we used to do in the summer, was to do jigsaw puzzles. That's kind of probably a lost art now. And typically, when I was a boy, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, we get those 100-piece jigsaw puzzles. I had a very brilliant older sister who would do 500 pieces. I think she did 1,000 pieces right there. And all I did was make my head hurt. 100 pieces were what I could deal with, right? I want the pieces to be a little bit bigger. You know, I want the puzzle to have bright colors and stuff in it so I could figure it out as one of the youngest children in the family. But that jigsaw puzzle, no matter how many pieces it was, there would be several with strange shapes, some that you couldn't figure out where in the world it began at the beginning. Some people had different tactics, et cetera, you know, worked on the edges first, worked on the bright colors, whatever. But the truth of the matter is the picture would never be complete unless all the pieces were knit together in love. I'm throwing the Bible in there and assembled together to present the picture. And the pieces were inanimate. In other words, they didn't have souls or anything. But if they had souls, they would go by what I'm saying to you tonight. And I've said before, I've said in preacher's meetings, and sometimes something like this can sound like a platitude. It can sound like a cliche. It can sound like I'm trying to butter you up. But we need each other. Let's get that in our spirit. Pastor, not lying to me about this. We need each other. Hallelujah. No matter if you're the prettiest piece of the jigsaw puzzle box, it don't matter if you got the distinction of being the corner, you know, the corner of where a lot of people start with it. If you think that you are the least piece, that your past, your shame, whatever, is not worthy. But God is not a respecter of persons, and it is the body of Christ, and it is an assembly of believers, a local church. And just by today, needing the saints to pray for me because my brother is sick. And now, hallelujah, I'm still, you know, whatever, hurt by his situation. Hallelujah. But the prayers of the saints caused this little piece of the jigsaw puzzle to even be able to talk tonight. And I hope it blesses you tonight. We are an assembly of overcomers. Hallelujah. Not people fighting with each other. Not people competing with each other, not people talking about each other, not people waiting with itching ears to hear something new. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that love that defines who God is, that's going to be the biggest thing we can ever have to overcome evil with good. How can you make a statement like that, Pastor Perkins? Well, what was the biggest blow ever struck against the kingdom of darkness? Jesus going to the cross and Jesus being resurrected from the cross. And what does the Bible say? For God so loved the world. Love put him on that cross. Love gave the greatest victory against Satan so far that the world has ever known. Hallelujah. So this love, hallelujah, is very crucial to our calling and commission to overcome evil with good. We're not to let evil overcome us. We're not to let flesh, pride, attitude, dysfunction, hallelujah, misunderstanding, whatever it is, to overcome us, because the church has to stand, hallelujah, and not only stand, but thrive in these days and be a real church, right? And not just somebody opening up so somebody can have a place to preach, but a real church, a New Testament church, a God-honoring church. Hallelujah. So, as I indicated, we're going to start a little bit different, but I wanted to start at verse 21 to give you the topic, say a few words about it. Now, let's go to verse 9 of Romans 12, same chapter. And you know, possibly, that verses 1 and 2 set out some very powerful foundational things about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice and not being conformed to the world. And then we get to starting at verse three through about verse 8. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about people not thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to. And boy, that'll tear up a local assembly in a minute. It'll tear up a family. And you know what kind of stress families can go through, either financially, or somebody gets sick, or there's a death, and maybe there's an inheritance, and maybe there's more than one people that think that they should get this and that, and Aunt Susie promised me the chiffon robe and all of that kind of stuff that sometimes ends up in my court. Let me rephrase, in the court where God has blessed me to serve is not my court. All right, verse 9, Romans 12, our topic is an assembly of overcomers. Hallelujah. Get that in your spirits. We're overcomers, right? We're not to be overcome. There are times when we feel overwhelmed, but the scripture tells us in Psalm 61 that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that's high, lead me to some dry ground up high. When I'm overwhelmed by the flood of problems and things, it's not one thing, it's two. If it's not two things, it's five. Hallelujah. But we serve a God who specializes in meeting our needs when we are weak. His grace is indeed every day and in every situation, no matter how painful, sufficient for us. Hallelujah. When we use the term almighty from the Bible, it speaks of the God who is more than enough. Hallelujah. Let love be without, verse 9, Romans 12, be without dissimulation, hypocrisy, fight, fakeness, nice, nasty. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Putting on a show. Lip service, right? Oh, I love you. And, you know, I think that's a beautiful thing to be said in church, right? And there was a time when you didn't hardly hear that. We're hearing it more and more. And, you know, I'm in a generation where I can only speak for the neighborhood I grew up in, right? In the housing projects, in the inner city, rough times, that if you heard the words, I love you, it usually was from a mama or grandmama. I don't remember as a child my dad saying to me, "Russell, I love you." But I knew he loved me. I knew he would give me some big old hugs. He would tell me, "I'm proud of you," when I made a good report card. And when I needed something, or when I felt like I needed something, like a baseball glove, somehow he'd get me one, and he'd get me a good one, right? It wasn't been no off-brand. It was like Spalding or Wilson. The first glove I had was Spalding, Maury Wills. You know, it was top of the line as far as I could say. And love is action. And so I didn't need him to be always telling me he loved me. But as we grow older, we understand the importance of the words and the action working together to make the jigsaw puzzle fit. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Quit faking it. If you got the Holy Ghost, you can love everybody. Hallelujah. That don't mean you like them. That mean you have to hang around them, but you can love them. Hallelujah. Maybe not in your own flesh, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that, let me say something about that scripture. At least two of the ministers have quoted that lately, and it's a powerful scripture. Because we don't have to fake it. Holy Ghost will take us there. The Holy Ghost brings the love with it, right? But years ago, and some of you may have heard me say this, and at the somewhere on the border between Zambia and Zimbabwe, there's a waterfall called Victoria Falls. It is one of the biggest in the world. It may be the largest in terms of the volume of water. It's not the tallest. It's not the widest. But in terms of height and breadth, in terms of volume of water, it might be number one in the whole world. It is sometimes considered one of the wonders of the world. And so this, on this program, this religious program, this man was talking about how he was going in the direction of, in a helicopter, toward Victoria Falls. I hope I didn't say Niagara Falls. I'm talking about Victoria Falls in Africa. And they were headed in a helicopter, and they were some distance off, and they looked, there's a storm up ahead. There's rainfall. We might not need to go up there. And the pilot, who was familiar with the area, said, "That's not rain. That's just the spray from Victoria Falls. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. The love of God is like the spray from Victoria Falls in our heart. We shouldn't have trouble loving God. What about the price that was paid to get the Holy Ghost to us, right? So we just have to work on each other, right? And so if our brothers and sisters bring love to the table, it makes it easier. If you're sowing love in the assembly of the believers, then we reap love. So if everybody comes to the church trying to sow some love to honor God, then there will be a reaping of it. Hallelujah. There will be the spray from Victoria Falls in the church and the sense of overcoming evil. And with good won't seem like such a like a fairy tale kind of thing, knowing how rough this world is. It says in verse 9, I'm on Romans 12, our topic is an assembly of overcomers. Abhor, or hate that which is evil. That means don't laugh at it. Don't take it lightly. Don't play around with it. Hate that which is evil. Have a fervency toward the things of God. Hallelujah. Cleave or cling to that which is good. Hallelujah. So if I've got a disagreement with somebody, and we will have disagreements, if I have a misunderstanding with somebody, we will have misunderstanding, even with the people we are closest to, right? Cling to that which is good. And you know what? The biggest, glorious, most wonderful thing to cling to is the love that God gave you for that person. The love that God wrapped himself in flesh, hallelujah, died on the cross so that the Holy Ghost could come and it could be shed abroad in your hearts with that love. And God is love. Hallelujah. So find something good. Hallelujah. When First Lady and I were young, full of energy, had enough energy to argue. When I felt my most upset, I would say to myself, man, she sure is cute. Man, she been really taking care of these children. Oh, my Lord, she is so full of the Lord. I hear her in there praying. And then this was the one that always gave me. Whew. That was a rough little 30-minute little spat. But I love her. So I can't go too far with this little spat we have. That's how you overcome the evil, the devil trying to creep in, the devil trying to get somebody to say that D word, divorce. Hallelujah. And then you get to the point where you say, God's too good. God has blessed this house too good. God has knitted us together in love. God has made a way. Hallelujah. And then you start cleaving or clinging to that which is good. And then next thing you know, whatever it is you were disagreeing about, no matter how disrespected or hurt you may have been, disillusioned, sad, whatever, cleave to that which is good until the storm passes over. And storm is a good word, right? Because if there's something like a bad storm, strong winds, almost hurricane, right? You're not going to grab hold of something flimsy, right? Something bad. Grab a banana and try to hold on to it in the hurricane is coming. You want to cling to something that's good, something that's substantial, something that has weight, something that is described in the scripture as God is love. So we grab hold to that in the storm. You'll be all right. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Ask God if you don't have, you can love somebody but not be tender, right? You can be kind of rough. Ask God to tenderize your heart, to bring compassion to your heart, to bring brotherly love. Because there's a thing about this love. Sometimes we have to be, we have to have aggressive grace. Because God had aggressive grace for us. Jesus had aggressive grace toward us when he went to the cross. And we're supposed to have the mind of Christ, right? So let's have some aggressive grace toward our brothers and sisters. Let's let some stuff go. Let's pray for people. Praise God. And they've been talking crazy to us or about us. Let's get past that. Hallelujah. We got an enemy. Hallelujah. They can't do nothing with the love of God. God loves us so much that the enemy can't even pluck us out of his hand. In honor, preferring one another, give each other priority. Bishop August a couple of summers ago told us find someone to bless. He gave the testimony of how he had just went and found this elderly bishop who had now been retired from his pastorate and his wife. And he just started lavishing them with blessings, bringing them to the convention on his dime, going up there to where they were and taking them out to eat. Not the church's dime, his dime, taking them, sending them on trips, paying for the hotel room, find someone to bless. And this scripture here is in honor, preferring one another, find someone to honor. You might not be able to send them on a trip. You might not be able to put money in their pocket. You might not be able to really, really, really bless them. They may not receive the blessing, but you can show the honor. You can show the honor. You can sow honor in a relationship. You can sow honor in the local assembly. And it's crucial. It's important. There's not a big I and a little you at Bread of Heaven Church. If I ever start acting like that, I'm asking y'all to come talk to me, pull me aside and say, what has gotten into you, man? You used to be more down to earth. You read your own clippings. People say some nice things about you and you let it go to your head. You're getting old and thinking that you all that and a bag of chips. Why did you talk to this young brother that way? Why did you act like that toward that sister? Why are you acting like everybody in the church is supposed to serve you? Hey, come tell me about it. I'll be so embarrassed if I'm acting like that because of what God has done for me and what he means to me. And my life is in him. And I sure don't want to be self-centered, think more highly of myself than we ought to. And everybody has something in us that could get a little bit derailed for a short period of time, hopefully. No matter how sincere, spiritual you are, the flesh is busy. It is a conductor of sin. Verse 11, our topic is an assembly of overcomers. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. We can overcome evil with good. That's just true. Not slothful in business. Oof. If you want to make me crazy, pair me up with a lazy person. Oh, my goodness. Mm-mm-mm. Just lazy. I ain't talking about somebody dealing with this or dealing with that or whatever. Somebody in my age group that don't have the energy of a 25. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who's not even willing to try. You know, ooh, that goes all through me. And that might be one of those times you have to say, well, Pastor Perkins called me and said, you were a little rough on this, sister. That goes all through me because of what Jesus has done for us, right? So for us to have that backup spirit, that spirit of I don't want to do anything, sometimes we ought to take inventory and say, what contributions am I making to my marriage? I'm not talking about money. Money's important. That's part of it. But I'm putting that aside for what I'm saying now, right? That's important, right? Financial, paying your tithes, that's important, right? But put that aside because the minute I say contribution, somebody out there turning me off because, oh, he talking about money or whatever. For the moment, we're not talking about money. But of course, biblically speaking, it's part of your contribution to any local assembly. But I'm talking about what contributions are you making to the church, right? What? Your presence? Are you praying? When you can't show up, are you on Facebook? When you can't show up and maybe for a period of time, are you letting your pastor know how you're doing? What contributions are you making to church? Are you coming in church looking like you've been sucking on lemons and sauerkraut? Or do you come with the joy of the Lord, right? That's an awesome contribution. Hallelujah. So think about that. And I think about it too. And I know there's always room to do better, to be more godly, to be more loving, to be more joyful. But keep in mind, I don't want anybody to fake nothing. If you're going to fake it, don't do that. But ask God to bubble that thing up in you, to stir up what he's already imparted to you. And then you can do it. It's not an act. Not slothful and fervent in spirit. Hallelujah. The same thing I was just saying, fervent in spirit, zealous in spirit. You got the Holy Ghost hustle going on, right? Hallelujah. When I played sports, we had coaches that would get in your face if you're out there loafing. And they would say, okay, come over here and sit by me on this bench. If you give them another chance, put them out there and you're still loafing, guess what the coach would say? Okay, run around this field until I get tired. Fervent in spirit. Hallelujah. I think we should be proud, and not in the sense of pride, but we should be honored. Let me say it that way. We should be honored to be a part of the body of Christ. We should count it a privilege that we are eligible to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, who was here in the beginning before creation. Hallelujah. Who rose on the third day with all power in his hand, to be a representative and a witness and an example for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We should be thankful. We should want to give him all we get, and he knows how much we get, right? And on a certain day, just like a phone, it might get down to 2%, right? Give him that 2%. It might be on a given day, it's just a two-piece fist snack. And give that to the Lord, and it becomes enough to feed more than 5,000 people. We got to give Jesus everything that we have. We have to give Jesus a 100% try. Brother Morrison used to sang that song, I've tried him. Hallelujah. We got to try him. We got to step out by faith. We got to trust him, right? If you ever saw, my reference is Tarzan, but I'm sure there's something more modern that had the same kind of thing, where it's like a rope bridge between two cliffs. And then down below, they got crocodiles. And then you got a couple of natives going ahead, and one of them, you know, ends up falling in the water, did the crocodile, and they're screaming and all that. And it's a rickety rope fence. If you don't put everything that you got, and again, it's not a competition. You ain't trying to keep up with nobody else. You know, and God knows what you got, right? If you're not willing to give everything you got and to be fervent, you're just on one of those rickety rope fences, subject to the devil. We're to overcome evil with good and not be half-stepping in this kingdom. Hallelujah. We ought to act like we're glad. Hallelujah. And if Perkins is getting on your nerve that, and I know that happens, you don't have to raise your hand or put nothing in the chat. I know that happens, right? My wife loves me. I get on her nerves at least 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. So I know the potential for getting on your nerves and rubbing y'all the wrong way or saying something you think you've heard, you know, 573,000 times. It can work your patience. If that is so, hallelujah, still give me some grace. I give you, I'll give you grace. If we both do that at the same time, hallelujah. If we both, this is the only way to do things with one accord. We have to, both sides of the equation have to be preferring one another at the same time. Otherwise, the one accord is like waiting for, it can be as fairy tale like as waiting for a unicorn to come up to you and give you $1 million. But if we put shoe leather, if we take God's word at street level as real truth for our lives, and that we are to, in honor, prefer one another, not be slothful in business, and be fervent in spirit. Why? Serving the Lord. You can't serve the Lord like he is due to be served if you're not fervent in spirit, if you're not excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Hallelujah. I got some hope. Hallelujah. I'm troubled on every side, but I got some hope. Cast down, but not destroyed. I got some hope. Perplexed. I don't know what God is doing someday. All right. But hallelujah. I'm rejoicing in the hope that I have, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I got hope. And sometimes that hope feels like hoping against hope. Hallelujah. But I just keep on hoping because I trust him. Our lives are hid in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that trust allows us to cleave to that which is good. And that good allows us to overcome evil, to overcome division, to overcome outright attacks of the enemy. Hallelujah. And we need, hallelujah, each other as a show of force against the enemy. For example, Scripture says one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. What if it's 15,000 of them? And we can't even get two people on one accord. We get outnumbered, we get flooded by the demons in here. I'm not a mathematician yet, so y'all correct my math if you can. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Where are you going to give up? Where are you going to run? Psalm 139 says, whither shall I flee to get from your spirit? We can't give up. We can't start complaining. We can't back up. We just got to take it. Hallelujah. Knowing, hallelujah, the tribulation work of patience, right? And just let God work on us. Just let God do his thing. Let him bring us closer to him. If you had everything you need, if you had $1 billion, it'd be hard. It'd be real hard to get you to really pray. But that trouble brings us to the altar. That trouble makes us appreciate what God has done for us. That trouble propels us to a point of humility in the face of a holy God. Hallelujah. I'm in my office right now. By God's grace, I believe my car is still in the parking garage underneath this building. I cannot see it. Hallelujah. But I trust that our security and our system will let that car be there. If it's not there, I have a God who's there. If I need money but don't have it, I have a God who has the cattle on 1,000 hills. And not only that, he can give me peace when I don't know what to do. And we have so many moments over the course of a lifetime where we are at this point, Lord, I just don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know. Lord, I need some peace over this situation. Lord, help me to stop worrying, whatever it is. So patient in trouble, patient in tests, patient in temptation, patient while somebody is working you up. And you know how it is. Y'all have to look at me for this. Look at me. Somebody's pushing all your buttons. You about to lose it. You don't know what's going on. But our God, hallelujah, said for us to be patient in tribulation, meaning that he'd be right there with us and he will help us and he will equip us. And so sometimes people say, well, how did you get through that? Well, the Lord Jesus was with me. I can't explain it any better than that. You want me to break it down? God is good. You want the details? You want a formula for getting through? Well, trust God. Believe the word. And let me use another prop here. I hope y'all are looking at me. This is a Bible. It is God's love letter to all humanity. In it is every promise you will ever need, every truth you will ever need, every impetus for trust you will ever need when you can't see a thing. The storm is raging. Sometimes storms get so strong that the clouds are so dark, you can't see a half a block. But this is God's love letter, and we should love it. We should want to partake of it daily. I could fuss at you. Y'all ain't reading y'all Bible and all of that. It's not going to work. I know I'm a dad. I know fussing at my children when they get a certain age, it just does not work. It makes them want to do what I'm telling them not to do, right? There's a way we can present it. This word is a love letter to everybody. It's a love letter to your mama or your daddy, your auntie, your sister, the person you want most, hallelujah, to get saved. It's a love letter. And from Genesis to Revelation, it really is about Jesus. I love it when preachers get all wound up and they say, and he looked high and he looked low for somebody to come and redeem man. And it sounds good, and you can get hyped for, but there was a purpose before the foundation of the world. The Lord knew that Adam would sin. God knew, hallelujah, that he would have to come down here and take care of this thing himself and wrap himself in flesh and dwell among us, and we get to behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There was a plan before the foundation of the world to save us. The love letter tells us so. Hallelujah. Patient and tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Man, the class is, it's 7:53. I don't know what to do. All right, I got to speed up. Distributing instant in prayer, always being ready to pray. You don't have to tune up, right? Somebody call you, so-and-so in the hospital. You don't have to get somewhere and say hallelujah for 45 minutes before you can pray. Just start praying. Be ready. Instant in season analysis. Distributing to the necessities of the saints. Given to hospitality. That means be eager to be hospitable. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Watch your mouth. I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version or the short version because I'm almost out of time. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that When somebody gets a blessing, rejoice with them. Don't be all jealous. Oh, I could have got that. I could have got 10 of those. And weep with them. You're supposed to have compassion. You look at the Beatitudes. We're supposed to mourn with them that mourn. 16, be of the same mind one toward another. What's wrong with a little bit of harmony? Mind not high things, guard against pride. But condescend to men of lowest estate. Be quick to associate with humble people. Be not wise in your own conceit. Don't be so quick to pat yourself on the back for being so wise. 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't, vengeance belongs to the Lord. Don't try to pay people back. We heard a public figure make an extraordinary statement. I'm not making a political statement. I'm making a biblical statement. He said, I am your retribution. Well, he better look at this. Provide things honest in the sight of the Lord. Live your life before men with the realization that God sees you, the real you. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Do your part. Be quick to do your diligence to live peaceably with all men. Hallelujah. Be guided by peace. Dearly beloved, you know, in some relationship, you know, the Beatles had a song that said, all I'm saying is give peace a chance. And people have this attitude. All I'm saying is let's give war a chance. Let's give confusion a chance. It's some people that thrive on trouble, thrive on confusion and disagreements. But we are to do our part to live peaceably with all men. That doesn't say be anybody's doormat. It doesn't say allow yourself to be abused. Hallelujah. It just says do your part. And go first if need be. You make the apology. You say, well, the other person was 90% wrong. Well, apologize for your 10%. All right. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. Hallelujah. Give place to God's wrath because vengeance is his. Get out of the way. You don't want to come between God and the person that deserves the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We are an assembly of overcomers. The only way we can overcome is understand what our role is, and our role is not to get vengeance. Our role, hallelujah, is to sow the things that give God glory and to step out of the way and let God handle some stuff, keep our mouth shut sometimes, and when we speak and we speak the truth, speak it in love. Let our words be seasoned with salt, wisdom, discretion, knowledge and respect for God's word and knowledge and God's and respect for God's people. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You ain't got to heat the coals. You just give them something to drink. Give them something to feed. Leave that to God. When the disciples had the little boys two-piece, they weren't responsible for feeding the 5,000. They just gave it to Jesus. Let him do his thing. Be not overcome of evil. This is our key verse, but overcome evil with good. We are an assembly of overcoming. Oh, that's, I gotta read this other scripture, y'all. Matthew 16, 13 through 18, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said and answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, hallelujah, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. What rock is that? The revelation knowledge of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. That's the most important question facing the world today. Who is Jesus? Praise God. He was not just a prophet. He's not some kind of angel. Hallelujah. He was God himself wrapped in flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He was the only one that could have blood with the chromosomes of heaven in it. He is the only one that could be our kinsman redeemer. He is the only one that was fit to die for our sin. No man, no natural man, hallelujah, having the Adamic curse, the curse of Adam, could die for our sin. No animal could do it. There had to be God himself. He is the only one that could forgive sin. He's the only one that could, hallelujah, redeem us, hallelujah. And he wrapped himself in flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And he did it to set up an assembly of overcomers. Hallelujah. And we got to deal with the gates of hell. And that goes right along with our key verse. The gates of hell shall not prevail. So what? The church is supposed to be on the offense. The church is supposed to be the overcoming instrumentality in the world. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not stand against what? The offensive attack of the gospel, the offensive attack of people who love Jesus for real, the people who will stand and not back up. Hallelujah. How can the gates of hell not prevail if we backing up? Questions? Comments? Brief testimonies?
Yeah, Pastor Perkins, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Just really enjoyed the lesson tonight. Encouraging, uplifting, even warning in there. So something I needed, and I do surely appreciate you and these scriptures that you gave us tonight. Thank you. Pastor Perkins.
Thank you, Elder. Thank you for that powerful prayer at the beginning. I needed that. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's pray then. Thank you for being the kind of people, hallelujah, that we can be in fellowship with, partner in, overcome. We can be knit together in love. We can be the jigsaw puzzle pieces that come together to help us as Brother Heaven Church, an assembly of overcomers, an outpost for the glory of God. Let's
Amen.
Pray.
Amen. Amen.
All right, First Lady. Got anything to say?
I just wanted to say, I'm on my phone tonight and I couldn't click over. But I just wanted to say that the message was so powerful and so needed. And I just thank God for you. And I thank God for the word. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, First Lady. Sister Honey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come, hallelujah, tonight to lift you up, to glorify you, to read and talk about the love letter you left on record for everybody. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, hallelujah, for what happened at Calvary for us. Thank you for this day that you have made, this day that we have a steadfast commission to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for the saints on this call. Thank you for the wonderful things that the saints are praying, the wonderful things that people, your people, God's, your great people, the saints, are saying to one another, encouraging words. Every now and then, Lord, you would cause one of the saints to send me a nice text, some kind of sweet, godly message of encouragement and truth. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for everybody on this call. And Lord, somebody's on this call that's in some kind of situation. Maybe they have a disagreement. Maybe they are hurting. Maybe they have a need, a financial need. And somebody needs like a human element, needs somebody to care, needs somebody to reach out, needs somebody to remember them. Lord, whatever the need is, Lord, you specialize in this. And we ask that you step in. Lord, bless Sister Samantha, Lord. Lord, we trust, Lord, that things are turning in a good direction, some stabilizing, weight gain and all of that. And Lord, that you do the whole thing. Lord, that you bring her through, Lord, with healing, with health. Hallelujah. And Lord, even while this baby has been going through, she's been happy. She's been smiling. She's been talking. And Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, for what you have put in a child. Hallelujah. That gives us a lesson about how to rejoice, how to keep on keeping on, how to walk out this gospel, to live out this blessed life with joy.
Amen.
And we're to become as little children, Lord. That's who you honor first in the kingdom. So Lord, help us to learn how to rip and run with you. Hallelujah. To cast aside the sin and the weight that keeps us from running this race. Lord, in the name of Jesus, your name is glorious. Hallelujah. And we praise you. Lord, we are honored to call on your name. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, we want to eat your word like it's the best thing we've ever had. We want to consume it, Lord. We want it. Hallelujah. We want to eat, sleep, and drink your word, Lord. I mean that as an example of how much it would mean to us. Hallelujah. That we would put priority on it, Lord. Lord, bless everyone on this call. Lord, bless my brother. Lord, they think he has a few days left, Lord, and you're the one who decides all that. And Lord, hallelujah, I don't know what you will do, or whether you'll let him go on to glory now, Lord. But Lord, I can't help but believe he's got more than a few more days. Hallelujah. I haven't heard anything from you about it. I just believe he's got more. So we just put it to you. Hallelujah. I can't change anything, but I can trust you. And hallelujah. And I can come to you just as I am. I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace. And so, Lord, give him some more time. Lord, bless him and touch him, heal him. Lord, hallelujah. And Lord, please save his soul, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless, Lord. Hallelujah. The others among us who have elderly parents or sick people among us, and maybe you're somebody on this call that's not feeling all that good tonight, or struggling with something, having mobility issues, you had a little trouble with your catching your breath, whatever it is, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that your healing virtue be on them right now. And Lord, somebody's worried about something, right? Hallelujah. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, we cast that on you, Lord. We're to be anxious for nothing, Lord, and you didn't tell us that just as some kind of pie in the sky. Lord, you able us to allow us to walk like that. And Lord, hallelujah, whomever it may be, So now it was me earlier today, but you helped me with that. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you can help whoever might be a little anxious about whatever, hallelujah, some uncertainty, some obligation, something that seems too big for them, hallelujah, some disappointment, hallelujah, praise God, some breach in a relationship, whatever, Lord, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, we give it to you, Lord, hallelujah. And then, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love people, and when we love people, it hurts. We get hurt, hallelujah, praise God, but it's still worth it, Lord. Loving is worth it, hallelujah, even when we get hurt, Lord, hallelujah, because you are love, and hallelujah, we can overcome evil with good. We are an assembly of overcome. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for your glory. Your name, hallelujah, is resounding in the hearts of your people, Lord. And Lord, hallelujah, thank you for each and every soul that's on this call, everybody that will listen to it later. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. Hallelujah. Where can we go except to you, Lord? Hallelujah. What other name can we come up to and be safe? Run to that strong tower name, Lord. That name Jesus, that rock of our salvation. Hallelujah. Our help. Hallelujah. In ages past, and our help today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we abide in you, Lord, hallelujah. We make our home in you, Lord. We live in you, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you for the glory of your name. We thank you that we know who you are. We thank you, Lord, we're not confused about the glory of your name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, that we can walk, Lord, and know that you are with us, Lord, and that you won't leave us or forsake us. Why would you do that? You said you wouldn't, hallelujah, and if you said it, you're going to do it, and we just believe it, Lord, we just believe it, stand on your word, we stand on your promises, Lord, and we just, Lord, we're not going to worry, hallelujah, we're going to use the good that you have given us, we're going to use the love, which is the best thing you've given us, the Holy Ghost, and Lord, hallelujah, praise God, and we're going to overcome this evil that's come against, hallelujah, the saints, the church, the power and majesty of your word, Lord, hallelujah. The people that think you're just a higher power, some kind of inanimate object, hallelujah, some kind of force like gravity, hallelujah. But you're so much more, Lord, hallelujah. And we delight in you. And Lord, we sure hope you delight in us, Lord, that we please you, Lord, hallelujah. And Lord, stir up our faith, stir up our gifts, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, hallelujah, to be more and more like you would have us to be. And Lord, transform our minds, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Open our eyes so that we can see, Lord, what you've got for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all. Love you.
God bless you too. Amen. Enjoy the Bible study.
I love you. I love you so much. Yeah,
love
y'all.
Love you too. Enjoy the Bible study. Thank you.
God bless you.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.